Monster Man, episode 516, Elementals, Lesser, and Erdland. Hello, and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm taking a look at the monsters that I find in them, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are continuing our journey through the monsters of Athas, the post-apocalyptic fantasy world that's home to the Dark Sun setting for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. Before we do that, though, it's time to welcome a new Patreon backer. Yes, this is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they have pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. And if, like today's backer, you pledge at the $2 or higher level, you'll also get access to my other podcast, Patron Deities, which is all about the myths and religions of the world and the inspiration we can find in them for fantasy RPGs, and which is currently starting a season on the myths and religion of the Phoenicians. So thank you very much to new Patreon backer, Noah Hacker. Your support means a lot to me. Our first set of monsters for today are the Elementals, Lesser. I mentioned these in our last episode when we were talking about the Elementals, Greater. These are little utility monsters that can be summoned or conjured, I would assume, by elemental priest characters. They're typically in the kind of 2 to 6 hit dice range, and they're all pretty simple. Their entries are short, but for the reason that they can be summoned by PCs and because of the themes of the setting in Athas, elemental make, you know, good utility monsters. And each of them has a few distinctive things. So for example, lesser air elementals can manifest normally, or they can accelerate into whirlwinds. The whirlwind stunt is costly, they do more damage, but their summoning or conjuring clock runs out faster. They're also less effective against creatures that are from like an opposing element, so the air elemental does less damage against earth creatures. Either earth elementals or creatures that live underground that have ties to the earth. Similarly, the lesser earth elemental is weak against air or water creatures. And also here we get a little note about its sort of its personality or its consciousness. The earth elemental is frankly kind of dumb. It needs to be given very simple, direct tasks. It is blunt and direct, a bit like we think about, you know, earth as an element, right? It's earthy. So when you're summoning these creatures, you can't treat them all identically. You need to think about what the, you know, kind of personality of that element is. Same goes for the lesser fire elemental. Lesser fire elementals can burn things that they come into contact with, or they can kind of lash them with a tongue of flame if they want to attack at longer range. But they're very literal-minded, so if you give them a set of instructions, they will follow them exactly. They're not really smart enough to improvise or fill in the gaps by themselves. And if they aren't told anything, they will just run around setting fire to stuff, being mischievous and impatient. You know, they're hot-headed. And finally, the lesser water elemental is, like, from a damage perspective, it's the best value proposition. When they use their ram attack, they do twice as much damage. Well, it's actually not quite, but at the 2 HD level, the water elemental does twice as much damage as its flame elemental counterpart. We're not talking about huge amounts. The flame elemental's attack does 1d6 damage, but the water elemental's at that level does 2d6. They get a little closer as you go up the hit dice. So in a way, it's maybe the most desirable one to summon, at least from a purely combat perspective. But because Athas is, you know, an arid environment, if you're in the heat of the Athasian desert rather than, you know, some underground cavern or dungeon or whatever, they are vulnerable to evaporating. So each of these monsters basically has a simple mechanical setup that isn't exactly identical to the others, but they're all roughly comparable, and a little bit of a visual gimmick or a rudimentary personality to help make them a little different from the others, and usually a drawback or two. Not bad all in all, especially for elementals, which are normally treated as quite sort of disposable in D&D. I particularly liked the detail that water elementals are treated very reverently on Athas, because water is rare and important. You know, people, well, not rare, but it's certainly not plentiful. People treat water as precious, so a water elemental is therefore seen as being a little bit special compared to the other ones. I thought that was a fun little detail. Our next monster is the Erdland. Now, the Erdland is a larger version of the Erdlu. That's not very helpful, I hear you say. What is an Erdlu? Well, an Erdlu is a flightless bird native to Athas. I assume it must have been in the Dark Sun core book because it's not in the Monsters Compendium, or not in this Monsters Compendium appendix anyway. And we are told that, yeah, like, the Erdland and the Erdlew are both flightless birds, and instead of feathers, they have scales. The Erdland is the larger of the two. It can weigh up to a ton and stand about 15 feet high. That's about 4.5 meters for my metric listeners. The Erdland is used throughout Athos as a kind of, it's a beast of burden, it's a riding animal. You will find them in caravans. They do have sort of wild herds as well. So, you know, it's a bit like horses, where most horses are domesticated, but then also there are herds of wild horses. The ratio might be the other way around for the Erdland. And the wild ones are hunted by halfling tribes. So again, like, we return to that idea of halflings being considered to be kind of exceptional hunters. So the Erdland is not a monster in the sense that it's something that you'd have to fight. Well, I mean, I suppose if you're attacked by people riding Erdlands, you might have to fight the Erdlands. But it's just a general fact of life in Athos. One little detail about the Erdland is that, so a lot of creatures in Athos have psionic abilities, and most Erdlands don't, but they can become psionic depending on what they eat. So there is a plant, and I think we'll be talking about it in an episode or two, called the Esper Weed, which stimulates psionic ability if you eat it. And so if an Erdland grazes on Esper Weed, it can temporarily become psionic, only for a very limited period of time. It is a little bit odd that it says it's extremely rare that you would encounter one of these psionic Erdlands, but actually I think it's a 5% chance, so it's not that rare. Considering that Erdlands are pretty commonplace on Athos, most people will have run into a psionic Erdland at some point. The Erdland is an example of something that we have seen a good deal in the Athasian monsters, which is a not in Kansas anymore monster. So they're a bit like Banthas in Star Wars or something like that, where they fulfill the role that horses normally would. But by not being horses, they remind you that you are in an alien world. So every time you just add a note about, you know, the caravan coming along with the guards riding ahead on their Erdlands rather than on their horses, you're just reminding people of the distinction between Dark Sun and more, you know, quote-unquote classic fantasy settings, which is, of course, one of the main things that Dark Sun is trying to achieve. So there are not in Kansas replacement for horses. They're there to remind you that Dark Sun is a weird and hostile place, and you're probably going to have to fight one at some point, if only because people ride on them, and so you'll want the stats for one, and here they are. Another bread-and-butter monster, but not too bad, not over long, pretty well executed. Erdlands are fine. All right, that is about all the Athasian monsters that we have time for today. In our next episode, we're going to be continuing with the theme of unusual motivations for going down into the dungeon to risk death. Last time we talked about the academic study of monsters, and in our next episode, we're going to talk about the culinary study of monsters, so I hope that you will join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you've got a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, why not get in touch? I'm on Twitter as @GonzoHistory, on Mastodon as GonzoHistory@dice.camp, or you can find me on Instagram at MonsterManGonzo, or drop me an email, GonzoHistory@gmail.com. Our theme music is an extract from Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, and is used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Our cover art is by Ray Otis. Thanks for listening, and please join me next time for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great.